Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 21. Some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. This is the text. We sing, "Have no fear, little flock." Yet Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Fear has multiple meanings. Jesus tells all who will listen that terrible and fear-filled days are coming. And then he says, but don't be terrified. Nation will rise against nation. There will be great earthquakes. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But have no fear. We listen to Jesus' words about what is coming. We hear what he says there in Luke's gospel. And it is clear that anyone who says that God has promised long life, liberty, and the guarantee of happiness if you act a certain way or pray a certain way or live your life a certain way, that anyone who says that is promising more than even a politician would dare speak. There is no place in Scripture where God has guaranteed promises of emotional fulfillment and long life and happiness and abundance for you in this life, or all the other things that you see, you know, promised there on the internet. If you click this, good things will happen to you. Anyone who is saying that that's what we can expect is calling Jesus a liar. Jesus says that before the end comes, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. Some of you, they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But here's the key. But not a hair of your head will perish. Some of you will be put to death, but not a hair of your head will perish. How can that be? That doesn't seem to go together. We pray for the last days to come. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." We pray for Christ's return. And we, upon hearing his words about what those days will be like, we do this with great fear. There is no victorious, abundant life promised here on earth. All of the things that we are blessed to have are undeserved blessings, gifts from God. We should be exceedingly thankful. And throughout this season of the year, as we head towards Thanksgiving, we turn our attention to that. But if you look around the world, we are so richly blessed. Only 10% of the people in the world have two pairs of shoes. I don't know if you knew that, but if you have two pairs of shoes, you're in the top 10% of all wealthy people in the world. But this is not guaranteed. We are looking at a world that is fallen and increasingly falling. Our victory, the victory that is promised, it's not found here. It is in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting, where not a hair of your head will perish. Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now it's been asked, why would a Christian need to fear a forgiving and loving God? Of course, that question is usually asked by those who are critics of our forgiving and loving God. But think about what we stated earlier in the liturgy from Psalm 130. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Forgiveness creates the fear of the Lord. Again, how can that be? That doesn't seem to go together. Forgiveness creates the fear of the Lord? Well, one of the chief attributes of original sin is that having been born spiritually blind, dead, enemies of God, as we discussed at length last week, we humans are not born with the fear of the Lord. That's why by nature we are inclined to and willing to do evil, even when we know that it is wrong, because ultimately our old Adam does not believe and does not want to believe that God has the authority to bring real consequences. As I said, fear has multiple meanings. It's not simply to be shaking in your boots afraid. Ultimately, fear can be understood to be synonymous with faith when we speak of the fear of the Lord. Fear means to have a reverent awe of the majesty and authority of God. We are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, as we learn in Luther's Small Catechism. We fear God above all things when we revere Him alone as the highest being, honor Him with our lives, and avoid what displeases Him. That is also from Luther's Small Catechism. Why do we fear Him? We fear Him because He is present. He's not the big guy in the sky, raining from above, looking down from afar. He is here. And He has the authority that we, as the people of God, recognize. The fear of the Lord does not come until there is faith. The fear of the Lord, it comes with faith. You can't really separate the two. It's a simultaneous thing. The law convicts us and shows us that there are real consequences for being a child of Adam. Yet the promise is sure, not a hair of your head will perish. He comes with a gracious gift. And when you are feeling like a poor, miserable sinner, because you are, when you're feeling worthless or terrified, do not settle for pop culture emotional medicine. The world tells you, oh, don't worry. You're doing fine. You are awesome. Well, when I'm feeling worthless or miserable, do not tell me I'm doing fine. Don't worry, be happy is not the gospel. And do not tell me that I am awesome. I need to hear that I am loved by God and forgiven. Yet this loving and forgiving God comes as being terrifying and truly awesome. When you hear that God is described as awesome, you have to think old school. Do not think of it in the way that the word is used in our culture today. God being awesome does not mean that He's really cool or exciting or simply really powerful. Any dictionary 100 years ago would tell you that to be awesome means to be totally terrifying and awe-creating to the point of overwhelming you. Think about visiting the Grand Canyon. You look out over the amazing and wondrous nature of creation. You're not really in awe of it, in the old school sense. Standing on the safety of the trail or the designated lookout spot, the canyon is not awesome in the classic sense. You can be amazed and impressed at the vast power that must have been needed to carve this out, like the power of a worldwide flood. But technically, you are not in awe of the Grand Canyon until you walk out past the security fence to the very edge and look down. when you look at the reality that there would be real consequences for taking one more step, what you are feeling at that moment is what makes that place old school awesome. That is fear. And when someone sees you faltering there at the edge and grabs you and pulls you back from the edge, that is very much like the simultaneous fear and love of God of which Luther speaks repeatedly in the Small Catechism. The law of God causes us to look with awe at the consequences of being a child of Adam. Jesus is the one who has pulled you back from the edge. And he says, no harm will come to you. I already took that step for you. I already suffered the consequences of the guilt of your sin. I have already endured the fullness of the wrath of a terrifying and awesome God. I have the scars. Not a hair of your head will perish. That's why on Reformation Sunday I said that Satan is happy when God is thought of as being the big guy in the sky, and Jesus is the friendly guy in the flowing robes and sandals who teaches you to be the best you that you can be. Satan's happy when people do not fear, love, and trust in God. Satan is happy when God's law is said to just be a bunch of rules for Christian living, rules that you need to obey so that you can have purpose in your life and be a good Christian. Satan is happy when the real gospel is hidden. The good news that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and took the consequences of confronting the awesomeness of God. And this he did for you. Because every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, as Scripture says. Everyone must confront this terrifying and awesome God. And he has demanded that his law be kept perfectly. We can't take that step. Jesus says, I took that step for you. His punishment for you, the punishment you deserve, Jesus says, I took upon me. I chose to stand between you and the righteous judgment of an awesome God. Not a hair of your head will perish. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.